Hallelujah. Jesus. Father, this is our desire. This is why we meet tonight. And every service is together as a body of believers, doing everything that we possibly know and by instruction to go to another level, placing our roots deeper and deeper. The solid foundation of the sayings of Christ. To be able to do those things which have been instructed by the Holy Spirit. Lord, this is our unshakable, unmovable position, that our eyes are upon you. And Father, we thank you that you're taking us from glory to glory, the glory that we were walking in last week, 6 months ago, 2 years ago, is being surpassed by the wisdom and the knowledge and by the intercession of your saints going forward. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in us and through us tonight. Lord, those that are watching, I pray that everything that we're receiving in this place, in this house tonight, the Word of God, the power of your Spirit will be made manifest in their homes and their venues, wherever they're at. Lord, we bless them as well as we bless the service in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I pray that we have half the nation watching tonight. Amen. That would be so wonderful. Well, this is what we're going to call our Vespers service. And it's Vespers is a name, a coin that we've just given this service. So you'll know in the future when we say, okay, we're going to have a Vesper service. And the word Vesper just means Vespers with an S, means an evening service. But for us, it's going to mean that somebody other than myself or somebody other than Homer will be teaching or ministering. And so it'll be elders. It may be somebody that doesn't think of himself as an elder. It may be a young adult. But wherever God leads us in the future, and you'll know if I come to you, you know, a few weeks in advance, and you always have the elective to say, no, I don't think I'm ready yet, Pastor, or you know, I don't know how long I can stay up there. Well, if you stay up here 5 minutes and you're the one that's supposed to be up here, that's fantastic. Tonight is my extreme privilege and honor to introduce a lady that my wife and I love and appreciate so very much, her and her husband and her family as well. They've been a part of the church probably for close to 20 years now, and are elders and are ordained elders, although there'll be people speaking that are not ordained, but we had the privilege a few years ago to ordain them. And so also it's a privilege of mine to do what we also teach and preach around here and have methodically went through by the Word of God and shown that women have a position and can have a position of teaching in the body of Christ and ministry just like men. So this may fly in the face of somebody watching. If it does, then I say wonderful. So you're going to hear some wonderful stuff tonight because I know it's going to be by the Holy Spirit. Miss Gay Plamondon has been an elder in the church. Never asked for a title. We don't really give our eldership title is not something that we pass out. It's just something we recognize. Somebody's been coming for 20 years and they've been faithful. It's an honor to have her stand here tonight and teach us, because each week she also leads us faithfully in calling in the lost, and besides for that does a lot of stuff behind the scenes that so it doesn't matter for her. Like many of you, you can clean one day and then teach a multitude the next. It doesn't matter. That's how we're raised around here. I've got a position, I've got a name, I'm stepping into the pulpit, so I'm not going to do that anymore. So that's not us. But it is my great and distinct honor to bring her on. And she asked that we bring our notes, or from our prophecies, rather, for the blueprint for 2020. If you don't have those or didn't hear about that request, or you forgot them, it's easy to forget, that compilation is on the back table. And Miss Barbara's going back there to pick one up. And so anybody that needs one, please raise your hand. Don't feel embarrassed that you forgot yours or don't have yours or whatever, because we have plenty. Okay, if you need one, just say, I need one, or raise your hand. And those of you that are online listening, you can actually go to our website, and right on the face page of our website those are listed blueprint prophecies, and you can just within a couple seconds you can be reading those, unless you're using that smart device for watching this. So, okay. So, amen. With no further ado, let's bring on our honored guest tonight, Miss Gay Plamondon. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. All right, let's get out our blueprint prophecies. Hopefully you brought yours from home. It should start with bring forth intercession in these last days is the first one. Bring me gold, paragraph 11. The first sentence, I say unto you that your entire life is to be consumed in me. Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Tonight I want to talk about, well, let's turn in our prophecies, complete the purging process, the first part of complete the purging process, paragraph 1. Complete the purging process, says the Spirit of grace. Go all the way to the end, says the Spirit of grace, and leave nothing for chance. Leave nothing on the table left unturned, says the Spirit of grace. How many of you know what kind of reference that is when it says, leave nothing on the table left unturned? Well, that's a poker reference. There's a table, there's a bunch of cards, and you're to flip over every card to know what kind of hand that you have. And that's what the Lord is referencing. And tonight, I want to paint a picture, or the Lord wants to paint a picture of another poker reference, which is all in. Do you know what all in is? It's where you have your big pile of poker chips, and it's everything that you have, and you put it all in. It's not good yet, Pastor, but I appreciate it. I appreciate your support. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. Okay, close enough. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's what Jesus is. He is our pearl of great price. And we need to sell all that we have and purchase that pearl of great price. And that's what all our chips represent. They're everything that we have, and we put them all in so that we can gain him, his kingdom, and the pearl of great price. And what do all those chips represent? They represent our time, our family, you know, the things that we confess, our body's not our own, our time is not our own, but also like our heart, you know, our affections, our imaginations, just everything that consists and everything that makes up our life. Our life is to be a living sacrifice. We're supposed to put it on the altar of God. Like when we did the first prophecy, it said, your life is to be consumed by me. He is an all-consuming fire. And that fire only comes if there's a sacrifice. And that sacrifice is our lives. And those chips are, they represent all our choices and just everything about our life. And to be all in is to give him everything. And because many times I'll worship the Lord and I'll say, Lord, I have nothing because I am all in. I don't have anything left. I already gave it all, Lord. So you're going to have to come. It's just like Jesus said, I can't do anything unless I see the Father do it. I do nothing of my own accord. I say nothing of my own accord. And it's like to be all in is a freeing thing. Like imagine if you're all in, you don't have to worry. You have no decisions to make. And you don't have to worry about the results. because you don't have anything. You're all in, and it's all the Lord's responsibility. Let's turn to Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's the Lord doing the works. So when we're all in, it's him doing the works. We no longer have to touch it. We no longer have to worry. We no longer have to take the care of it, because it's the Lord doing the works. What are some of the benefits of being all in? And one of them is, you're not responsible for the results. It's the Lord doing the work. Okay, let me give you an example. All right, let's say a pastor comes up here and he says, we're going to do an all-night prayer vigil this Friday night. We're going to pray from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And your first thought is, I like my Friday nights. That's family time. So in your mind, you're thinking, but wait, I'm all in. I've pushed all those chips in. I don't have a right over my Friday nights anymore because I already gave them to the Lord. So I don't have to worry about making that decision because it's already been made. The Lord already has my Friday nights. So I don't have to protect them or like try to hide them from the Lord. I already gave them to him. So I don't have to worry about Friday nights anymore. So it's like, oh, great. Yeah, I can go to prayer. But then I have this thought. Oh, sleep. I like sleep. Sleep is important to me. The Lord, he wants me to get good sleep. I know he does. That's important to him. And the flesh starts, but wait, I'm all in. That chip that said sleep on it, I pushed it in. So now, you know, you can't reach in there and grab it back. You already said, Lord, all my life is yours. My life is a living sacrifice. I've been bought with a price. My life is not my own. I'm all in. So now you don't have to worry about sleep. You don't have to worry about that. All you have to think is like, Lord, what are you doing? And Lord is obviously working because he came to pastor. He's been dealing with pastor in his heart. He's been saying, you know, I want more prayer. I want more corporate prayer. He told us in the prophecies, I want a place of corporate prayer. So you know he's working. He's already been working with us because he had us listen to these 30 times. So we've heard him say it 30 times. We know he's working because he's dealing with pastor. And now pastor has come before us and said, we're going to have Friday night prayer vigil. And you're like, yes, Lord, I see you working and I want to be a part of that. And I've already given you my Friday nights. I've already given you my sleep. I've given you my time. So I'm on board. And you see how freeing it could be if you can just remember that and tell the flesh to shut up when it tells you, you know, sleep is important and, you know, I could get sick, or, you know, it just starts listing off reasons why you can't stay up all night and pray. Yeah. Even though the Lord said, hey, can't you pray an hour? Come on. He prayed all night, all the time. You know, it was never like, hey, where's Jesus? It was like, duh, Jesus is praying. He's always praying. You know, they never wondered where he was at. You know, he was off with his father. And we should be like that also. People shouldn't wonder, oh, where's Gay at? They should know, oh, she's in prayer. I mean, we should get lost, right? Yeah. Amen. Okay, here's another example. Okay, you have an opportunity to take offense. And the enemy whispers in your ear, go ahead, take an offense. It's okay this time. You have a right to take an offense. But you respond by saying, it is written, my life is not my own, and I've been bought with a price. You see, the choice to take the offense was one of your chips, and you've already given it away. You've already pushed it in. You're already all in. So you have no rights. And you've already given up your will. Your will has become the Father's will, and you have no choices of your own. So you don't take offense. because you would need that chip, and you're already all in. So you don't have to take an offense. Now, here's another example. Pastor comes up to you, and he asks you to prepare a 30-minute message for Sunday night. And see, you've already given away that chip that says you have a right not to do that. You've already given that away because your time is not your own. Your intellect is not your own. Your desire to be comfortable and not nervous, you've already put that chip in. So you've already given your life away. It's already burnt up on the altar. And so that choice isn't even yours anymore, because it is your choice, but you already made it when you said, I'm all in. When you said, Lord, I lay my life on your altar as a living sacrifice, you already said, I'll do it, Lord. And you know he's working, because Pastor already said it. You know, up at Jim Martin's church, they've already kind of started this on Sunday nights where someone different is ministering the word. So you know the Lord is working. So it's like, yes, Lord, I see you working there. I'm going to work there, just like Jesus did. I only do what I see my Father doing. And we're just like that. We see him working, and we begin to work with him, to work alongside him, and to agree with what he's doing by being obedient and doing those things. Okay, so you're all in, but the problem is you're tempted to take a chip back. Well, you kind of have to be like a mother with an unruly child. You just slap your hand in the spirit and you say, that's not yours. And because you already gave it away, and that's the Lord's, and it isn't time for you to take back what you said, because you said all your life. So when you're tempted, in poker, they'll like hide a card or a chip in their jacket, you know, to cheat. Well, you can't do that. You have to just say, no, Lord, I've already made that decision. My life is not my own. It's been bought with the precious blood of Jesus, and it is not mine. And I've laid it down, and I remember. And really, that's what it's about. It's the renewing of the mind, because that's what helps. When you're renewing your mind, you remember. Because that's my problem. I just start living my life, and I just forget what I said, what the commitment was. And by renewing your mind by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can come and use the raw materials of you meditating the Word and being in the Word to remind you. You know, he'll bring up scripture. He'll bring up, you know, he'll tell you, hey, you know, you said this. You know, you really don't have a right here. So many times we think we have a right, and we struggle with the decision of it. Like, oh, should I come on Sunday night? Oh, it's just Miss Gay. I really don't receive from her. She offended me once. I really don't want to hear what she has to say. But really, we need to put all that in. Just even our right to be offended, and just push it in and say, you know what? I can't do that, because my life is not my own. Okay, so what do we do when we're half in? Let's turn to Luke 16:13. Ooh, I did not look at my watch when this started. What time was that? Okay, 16:13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Okay, this is where you're half in. And this is where a lot of the church is today. We have bought hook, line, and sinker the idea that we can have our cake and eat it too. That we can live the American dream and have the kingdom of God at the same time. And this is what the Lord says. He says, either he will hate the one and love the other. So let's just substitute the word one with one of the things. For either he will hate the money and love God, or we could say it for either he will hate God and love money. We can't do both. We can't be half in. Let's turn to James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We're at a place when you're honest with yourself, when you think deep, deep down, deep in the knower, in that quiet place where you know that you know, you know when you're building your own kingdom and when you're serving money. You know when you are. And we have to be honest with ourselves and know that we can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. That our hearts can't be divided. They have to be holy unto the Lord. Not holy like H-O-L-Y, but H-W-O-L-L-Y. Holy, our whole heart is unto the Lord. And we can't have our cake and eat it too. We know it. We know deep down that it's all. He wants all, not some. He's a jealous God. He tells us that in the... Let's look... Intimacy is the hour that we live in. It's my page 7, paragraph 3. Intimacy is the hour that we live in. Okay, paragraph 3. Seek me. Find opportunity. Find excuses to steal away and sit with me and pray. So much depends on you. You have not yet realized how much depends on you. You have not yet realized how jealous I am over you. I am very jealous. Very jealous in a godly manner over you, says the Spirit of grace. He's very jealous over us, and he wants our whole heart. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, this is where we have to be honest with the Lord and stand before him and say, Lord, I love you. With my whole heart, Lord, I turn to you. And I leave the world. I leave it behind. All right. Let's turn into our prophecies. Complete the purging process, number 5. Right here it says, lay hold on these things and make no and makes excuses no more. It's like the fourth sentence. So lay hold on these things and make excuses no more. When we're all in, that's what we have to do. We have to make no more excuses. I don't know where this is in the prophecies. It'll take me a second to find it. It's the second page of You Who Have Ears to Hear. It is paragraph 4. You see there where it says America? Well, let's start sooner. Up here, says do not be ignorant of this understanding. It's like three or four sentences in paragraph four. Do not be ignorant of this understanding, that there are not many in the earth at this present time that have turned aside to offer their bodies a living sacrifice. When I say not many, I'm not talking about that there's just a few. A number I'm talking about is in the proportion of the church, and especially the church in modern America. There are not many in proportion to that church that have turned aside to seek my face and cry out and abandon their flesh and abandon their world and abandon their aspirations and abandon the self-exalted and self-expressed life. I cannot make you do this. I will not make you do this. And this does not negate you coming to me at the end of your life in salvation and receiving whatever reward is available. But whoever will lay down their life will reach a great harvest in this life. And I will lay my hand upon you, and your exaltation will be to do the works that my first begotten did. It will become natural and become a flow to you and through you, saith the Spirit of grace. That's what the Lord is telling us tonight, that we need to leave these things, abandon our flesh, abandon our world, abandon our aspirations, and abandon the self-exalted, self-expressed life. When we're honest with ourselves and we're honest before the Lord, we do know that He wants all and that He is a jealous God. And we've been hearing it, and the Lord has been very gentle with us. He is a good shepherd, and He's been leading us in paths of righteousness. He's been leading us beside the still waters. And you've heard it if you were careful. If you had a listening ear, you heard Him. He said, you can lay that aside now. We're addicted to our phones. We're addicted to electronics. And you know He wants it. You know He wants us to lay it down. We can't be inundated with the world. See, the world is influencing us through social media and through our electronics. The world is just washing over us. Even if it's what you think is benign, or it's still the world, it's still the world. We need to start binging on the Bible instead of binging on Netflix and series. Talking to myself, I love TV. I love to watch it. I love the escapism. But you know, you hear Him. He's wooing us. He's leading us. And He's doing it gently, just like a shepherd to the little lamb. Yeah. But you can hear it. He's telling us to lay it down. You know, the time has come where you can't read the Bible for an hour and then watch 3 hours of TV. There's no way that's going to work out. The balance isn't right. But when you're all in, see, when you're all in, it doesn't matter. But if it's 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the kingdom of God, it's your flesh is never going to let you make that decision. It's going to, like me this week, I get the flu so bad I can't do anything. I did test negative for COVID, in case you wanted to know, so I'm good. But I got the flu, and I couldn't even... On Sunday, last Sunday, the Lord said, start reading the Bible through. So I started to like binge on the Bible. I just started Genesis. I started going straight through. And I read 300 pages. I mean, I'm in Joshua. And I was sick all week. And I'm in Joshua in 7 days. Just by just every minute, instead of being on my phone or something, I just go to it and I read a little bit and maybe just four chapters. But it's like I got the flu anyway, and I couldn't read because I was so dizzy, so I just lay in there, just vegging out and just watching TV. And then, of course, it's the enemy that comes, you know, because you thought you'd read the Bible. Yeah. But it's like we need to make those decisions. And they're so much easier when you're all in. As long as it's 1 foot in and 1 foot out, your flesh and the enemy are going to come with every assignment that's crafty and take you out. I used to think, you know, it's kind of like what you're talking about this morning about grace. You know, if you make that quality decision and you just, you know, like I think it was Martin Luther, he's running through the forest, there's lightning everywhere, he thinks he's going to die, and he says, Lord, if I live through this, I'm going to serve you. You know, we think we need those moments, but really we don't. We just need to make that one serious commitment where we're all in. And then we're not going to sway back and forth. We're not going to be double-minded, tossed to and fro. And that's just what the Lord wanted to say, that go ahead and be all in. Lay all those other weights aside and sin beside so that you can run your race and be all in to the place where you don't have to make those decisions anymore because you've already made them. Lord, I'm all in, I'm all yours, and I'm going to serve you all the days of my life because you're so worthy and so faithful. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Excellent job. Really, really very, very good. Wasn't that great? Really was. Just to be, and to give that analogy, you know, when the prophecy was given, I didn't even think about that, but that's exactly the reference. It really is. And to bring that out in the reflections of these prophecies was an excellent job. I appreciate that so much. I'm glad that I chose, or God chose, somebody really tough to start with as a prime example. That's perfect. Perfect example that when you get up here, unbeknowing to her, I mean, there was no way that she knew that there was different types of changes from the beginning. You may prepare. This is not only us being edified by what we receive, but also living examples for you out there and us in here of how to know that how to minister, just how to minister, because you're disciples, but your disciples is going to be discipling other people. And so you always got to know this. Many times you'll get a plan in effect. I'll study for hours or hear the Lord, write notes, this and the other. But at the same time, I know that once you get here, I can't tell you how many times that I've stood up here and my notes were, I got them out of order. I got them totally out of order. Well, you don't just go, oh my God, let's go home and we'll start again next week. You minister. So that was a perfect example. You know, so I'm not trying to grade. I'm just trying to say this was prime. She didn't get, fluttered, frustrated by it. Just moved on with the Holy Spirit. The thing that was touching my heart is I don't know how all in I am. I really don't. I mean, I do know that I'm in. But as a living example, as a pastor, I think when she was talking about different things, how that we ought to really reserve part of ourselves. People may say, you're really dead, or, you know, you're the deadest person I know, or we have died, and we've died in increments, all of us in here, or you wouldn't be here tonight. But how many chips really are in? How really far away from us have we push those things? So I think, would there be things that he would come to me that even present tense that I would stutter on? Like, okay, God, when she gave the example, you know, like, let's get some Friday nights together, or let's do this, or like, so you think you're all in, but yet he's saying complete the purging process. So he's real nice. He's real nice to us, because I'll guarantee you he could come to things even, you know, on my greatest day when I'm just really saturated, tears coming down, and I feel so good about myself, and that's really good. But on that day, if he wanted to prove a point, if I was a little bit prideful, like I'm really dead, Lord, if he wanted to, he could probably come to me with a few things and say, well, I've been wanting you to do this, and I'd be like, oh my God, seriously? And you know, you start backing up. You know, you start stuttering a little bit. Well, wait a minute, God. Well, so this was an awesome message. And I loved, I was taking notes, just different things that the Holy Spirit was saying as Gay was bringing that. You know, when we, sometimes people think, well, you know, I'm scared to speak or I'm scared to be a, you know, honestly, once you go all in, like she was saying, you don't have a right to be scared anymore. Somehow you got to get over that because you're dead. You're supposed to be saying, you know what? It's not me up here. It's not me that's supposed to be sharing. It's the life of God in me. The only reason why we get a phobia about not being able to stand in front of people is that there's still a light on us. No matter what we think, it's still something inside of us of performance that we have to perform. When we lose that, it's like, Lord, it's all you. It's all you. And so, and I'm not trying to, you know, you guys are the tip of the spear, as Gary would say. We're the, you know, you're to say something to like hammer on you would be like preaching to the choir, because you're here on Sunday nights. You're the you know, the prayer warriors and others that are watching as well. But, you know, when the Lord is challenging us, he said in this year, and I'm so glad that's another, there's so many different things that Gay helped set a precedence on these Vesper services that I thought was so perfect. She didn't even have a clock. I bought a big clock, and I was going to have it set up, but we didn't have time to set it up. Somebody said, well, why would you even want a clock? Well, because one, these are not only services for us to receive from somebody, but it's also a discipline. It's also a discipline when we're asking that person, because a lot of people can get up and ramble. They can just ramble and they think, well, I spoke for an hour. I know you spoke for an hour, but you know, you could have said that in 15 minutes. Well, she got every bit of her time. She kept it right in that vicinity that I asked, and she put everything that she possibly could, even getting past a few, you know, kind of interruptions about where the notes were at. She got past that and invested because you as a disciple and as a teacher, you're going to places at times where you're not going to have an hour to speak, or you're not going to have. I've stood in front of big congregations, hundreds of people, and the pastor tell me, okay, you've got 20 minutes or something like that. So you can't panic on that. Like, you know, my messages are usually about an hour and 10 minutes, if you'll notice. Okay, something like that. Sometimes we'll go longer, but I don't just try to do, but I've got a crowd that can, and plus a man's not asking. You're going to go to places where somebody's going to say, I want you to do this in 10 minutes or 15 minutes or 20 minutes. You've got to be concise enough to take your revelation, boil it down, and do it your very best, not to, you know, rabbit trail or take your own thoughts. And you've got to say, while, here's the beautiful part about teaching, while you're talking, you've also got a conversation going on the inside. There's a monitoring going on. It's amazing what your spirit can do, and all of you know that you can do that. So as you're talking, he's talking to you, and you're thinking, your thoughts are running ahead of what you want to, you know, bring up on the computer screen and say that next. Some of them will be edited. You know, you'll bring it up and you're going to think to say that, and it's not like an abrupt editing, but it's like, oh, that'll take time and it'll be unnecessary time. I won't go down that path. This is the path. And you say it as concise and repetitive if necessary. Say it repetitively. So Gary Carpenter, I've heard him recently. I've been challenged by some of the things that he said, and he's really went over these. And again, Gay did a great job in using that short time that she had, because most of us ministers, we'll have an hour and 10, 15 minutes sometimes. But she really did a great job of making it as concise as possible. But Gary says something, you know, that he reminded me of, and I've heard it several times. I've heard Dave say it. And Gary did an expanse on it. He said Dave would say, I can't prove it by scripture, just by observation. And he'd say, for the people that are really, now this is how I remember, and then Gary said some other parts on it. He said, for the people that are really wanting, aspiring for ministry, he said, and being used by God in a larger sense of the word, basically, he said, what I've noticed is about the breaking point is about 20 hours a week. Now that scares some people completely out of there. About 20 hours of prayer and word. And so what she said is so wonderful. You're not going to get that kind of stuff done. You're not going to get those kind of hours done unless certain things are being sacrificed, like too much TV, this, that, and the other, turning your phone off. I've got where recently, in the last few months, I used to get up, turn my phone on, and I'd have it there, and I'd maybe check a couple things and go into prayer, but it would be on, and it'd be on vibrate. Now, now it's not even on. Sometimes you can't reach me till close till noon, 10 or 11 o'clock, because it's not even on, because I don't even want the buzzing. You know, I don't even want, if I'm in intimate prayer. So there are certain sacrifices, 10 or 11 o'clock sometimes is probably. There are certain kinds of, and I'm not throwing those numbers out there to cause anybody to stumble. but I'm just saying, for us to go to the next level, there's some sacrifices got to be made. And so for you, Gay says the Lord has been real nice to us, and I've tried to be real nice. I've told people, I've given people examples like, can you get in 30 minutes a day? Or can you get in? But that's good for some people, but that's not, revivalists can't get in 30 minutes and take us, you know. And some days you won't have hardly any or very little, but then you've got, Gary has been really, you know, Gary, if you've been listening to him, he's not been trying to, he's not been trying to bring attention to himself, but he's been a great inspiration in listening to, because he's talking about the hours that he's been prompted by the Lord saying, make this a year of prayer like never before. And for him, what that meant was, he said, well, I was doing 40 hours a week in the trucks. 40 to, you know, whatever. And so he said, for him, this has meant about 50 hours a week of prayer or word or whatever, spending time. So that means when you're putting in 50 hours a week and he's taking care of his mama and he's doing a lot of other stuff and he's preaching about three times a week, he's preaching at the service two times, and then he's doing two videos, one to Brazil and one to India. When you're doing that, you don't have much time for fluff. Now you can spend, but what I'm saying is you got to keep your eggs in a row. And you can spend time with family, but it's got to be quality. And you don't have much time to just to sit. And you don't have no time for 3 or 4 hours of TV. Not if you're going to put those kind of hours in. You got to make every hour count. And what I'm saying is, I'm not trying to put a stumbling block in front of anybody, but I'm reiterating this to say, reiterating what Gay said, is that things are going to have to, you know, change for all of us, and they are changing for many of us. Excellent job, and we appreciate it so much. Right in that time frame, and it was perfect. She used her time absolutely wonderful. So praise the Lord. No room for offense. Amen. I remember one of these prophecies that said, we're going to have to, in the days ahead, well, nothing will split us, but we're going to have to give each other consideration and room in the days ahead. We're still going to have to die and those kinds of things. Praise the Lord. Excellent job. One of the things that we'll make in the future that I'd like to have, that's in my heart, but we can't do it now because of COVID, is to make our Vesper service also a fellowship. We'll have this 30 minutes. We'll have worship this 30 minutes, and then afterwards we'll, you know, have some kind of fellowship. But that'll be in the future. We can't have it right now because of obviously things that are in front of us. Amen. Did you have a good time? Praise the Lord. Amen. Once again. Glory. Amen. So let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Who is next? Oh, hallelujah. Who is next? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you and we worship you for this word tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that what a wonderful analogy really was in the prophecies and just right there and recognizable that everything has to be on the table. All the chips in, every part of our life. So, Lord, I don't aspire to the point to say, oh, Lord, I've done all this yet. But I say through Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I'm asking that the message that we've received tonight will burn in the hearts of everyone that has listened to this. All chips in, all of everything, no bets left on the table. Nothing, Lord God, that we can say that we're holding for ourselves. We thank you for this awesome message. We ask you to bless everyone that came tonight and bless, Lord, us as we head to our homes and bless the week in prosperity, spirit, soul, and body in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.